Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Tick Sagabloom, soon to be Clark County Commissioner, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers tapings in Las Vegas are brought to you by the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program Tick Sagabloom. Normally, we introduce him as state senator. Now, it would be former state senator, because as of today's taping, you stepped down from the state senate, and you are now a county commissioner-elect in Clark County. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It was quite a battle in the primary, not so much in the general.
Yeah, it's really a Democratic seat, and so I was scared to death in the primary, but I prevailed, thank God. And then the general was more just getting the turnout, which we got.
As you look towards serving on the county commission, what are your thoughts? Because it's an interesting commission, because even though it's all Democrats, there are some pretty conservative Democrats. One would call them, blue dogs if they were running in Congress. What are your thoughts on serving on the commission?
Well, first, I'm very excited and very thankful to the voters to let me serve. But you know, most of the things the county commission does really are not partisan, not left or right. It's land use and things like that. It's what's good for the city and the county. But it'll be fun to see. I mean, I was initially thinking it would be just like being in the legislature, only 7 instead of 21. But the more I learned about it, because that open meeting law and things, it's actually a much different experience.
Do you have things that you want to try and accomplish right away, or is this going to be a sitting and listening for a while and seeing how things play out?
Well, the fun thing was my first thing, which I did want to do right away, was to rename the airport Harry Reid Airport. But Sisolak, Governor-elect Sisolak, has actually taken that and run with it, so it looks like I won't have to worry about that. And otherwise, I do have the luxury to kind of sit back and get the lay of the land and learn how the other people operate and learn from them, you know, what to do. I don't want to, you know, act like I know it all or take the lead. I'm gonna sit back and watch.
Let's start with marijuana, because at this point probably you are nationally, if not internationally, famous for your work on legalizing marijuana in the Silver State. Marijuana lounges. You took a tour recently to San Francisco. What did you see, what did you learn, and how might that play out for Nevada?
Well, first, for anyone who thinks it's gonna destroy Nevada, it's not gonna destroy Nevada. It's a very simple process, and you really just have to screen people before they go into the lounge to make sure they're not already under the influence of something. And then when
they say under the influence of something, like alcohol?
Yes. So they do test them. They don't do a breathalyzer or anything, but they kind of just physically just see how they're feeling. But as long as they seem normal, they let them go in there. They smoke whatever they purchase, so they aren't bringing in things from outside. The one place could only stay 30 minutes. They actually had a little clock they hand you, and at 30 minutes it beeps, and you're out of there. And then they don't just put them in a car and have them drive off. But otherwise, you know, it's just like sitting at home. It's just a place where tourists and other people can go. That was the one place. The second place we went to was in a neighborhood, and that they had like a membership, so people from the neighborhood would go there and could socialize, and there was no time limit or anything. But again, it was very modest. Absolutely, neither place had any problems at all, no fights, no anything.
Well, not behind marijuana. Dick Gamak and I had a fight about that on the show one time. I said the only time that somebody's going to start trouble is if you go to the 7-Eleven and you're high and they're out of candy. So I don't think that that's particularly a drug that's going to incite violence. But you were saying about the first place, that they don't just let you drive off. So do they call you an Uber, or how do they make sure that you're not driving?
Well, actually, they don't do that, but it's right next to the Moscone Convention Center. And so most of the people there, it's not a kind of place where you can park a car even. So it's on a mission right there. So it would be the one thing you'd have to walk in from somewhere. And so most of it's tourism. Some people that work around there, but it's just not a place where you would drive up and like a bar where you'd park your car in front and go in, then go back out and get in your car and drive off.
Now, what about serving food?
Neither place served food. The second place did have, sometimes they would have food brought in. We saw some pizzas there and stuff, but it's not like they had a menu where you could order food there.
Doesn't that seem like a loss of revenue?
Well, that's the biggest problem with pot lounges is how do you actually figure out a way to make money on it? Because just to have somebody buy their own marijuana, bring it in and smoke it, it doesn't generate any money. So what's the point? So that's why these two were basically paid for by being tied to a dispensary. So the dispensary makes money when they sell the product, and then they just give you as a benefit the lounge. But there could be food. I don't see why, frankly, there couldn't be alcohol. As long as you watch it carefully. I've come up with two things. First, you have to be very careful about the transportation. So make sure that people come in from, don't drive in. And secondly, make sure there's no illicit transactions going on in there. So when you come in, I think you should have to show a package from one of Nevada's dispensaries showing that what you're going to use was purchased legally.
So a couple of things. One is I didn't realize how many people I knew had continued to smoke marijuana from the 60s till today. Because obviously the volume of business that these dispensaries are doing, plus what's still going on illegally, these were not all new customers.
It truthfully is amazing, and a lot of people that
did
I know.
Did you know that?
I didn't. I mean, I guess a lot of us were like hidden in the closet, and so we never didn't talk to our friends. But the truth is, it's been going on since the 60s, and a lot of people just regularly use it, or wherever they got it, I'm not sure. But we really haven't even begun to tap the recreation, the tourism market. Most all the sales so far have been just local sales. And as you see, they're going up, so obviously there's a demand just within Nevada.
All right, so you've looked obviously a lot at Colorado, and they're certainly playing the tourism card there. What do you think of the smart ways for Nevada to enhance tourism? And are we stopped from the state being involved because of federal regulations? So the State Department of Tourism, for example.
I think that's such a bogus issue as far as the federal thing.
Why?
Well, because they've never, if you go to Colorado, everybody there is promoting it. They go to the universities, they're promoting it. Here you go to UNLV and they say, oh, we can't do it because we lose our federal grants. You talk to the school district, well, this kid has a medical marijuana card and he needs marijuana during the school day. Oh, we can't do it because we'll lose our federal funds. The federal funds have never been taken from any state. And we're such a small piece of this whole thing. You know, California's, you know, 50 times or 100 times bigger than we are. So anyway, the reality is, any agency that wants to be help promote it, they're allowed to promote it, in my opinion, and that's something we should encourage. But what we really need, I think, to get the tourism part off the ground is these pot lounges, so then you can actually legitimately say, come to Nevada, purchase it, and there's a place to use it. Otherwise, come to Nevada, buy it. By the way, you can't use it anywhere, even though we know you're going to go to your hotel room, you're going to go out on the strip, you're going to go somewhere and use it. That's why you're here. But we need to be able to say, here's the place, and support it and get the publicity out there. If we do that, we will take over the world. We will become the Amsterdam.
It's interesting you talk about the federal model here. So do you think that Governor Sisolak might encourage the State Department of Tourism to promote marijuana usage as one of the reasons to come to Nevada?
I would hope. I mean, at least the Clark County Convention Authority, maybe the Washoe County Convention Authority should do that.
Have you talked to anybody about it?
Not yet, but again, I'm just starting new and I'm going to ease my way there. But absolutely, it's crazy. This is a source of revenue. We have a lot, hundreds of millions of dollars invested. So let's go out and tell people. And if they come, here's where the dispensary locations are. Here are the rules. Here's the places you can use it. Of course, we don't have those places yet, so that's one reason not to promote it. But once we get that out there, I just think it's essential that we promote that too.
You know, one of the sidebar here is that my company obviously is an advertising agency. Well, maybe not obviously, but we are an advertising agency. And we want to sell space on our website to marijuana companies because they are limited, because television stations and radio stations do have federal licenses and they don't want to jeopardize those by running marijuana commercials. But it's really hard to get any information about what marijuana companies can or cannot advertise if you are not a marijuana company. And I guess all of their advertising has to be approved by the state. Any thoughts on that and maybe what should be done about it?
Well, I was talking to on KNPR, our local public radio today, and they said the same thing. We would love to have marijuana sponsors, marijuana companies sponsor some of our programs. They are begging to do that, but because we have this federal license, we can't do it yet. So there's just lots of issues like that. But for example, the state does have to approve all advertising. They're pretty lax about it. I mean, they don't try to micromanage it. But then Clark County has its own approval process, and so there are people that have been out there who have gotten approved from the state, and then the county won't approve it, which is crazy. So there's lots of issues like that where we need to kind of make sure everybody's on the same page. But at the end of the day, if you turn on TV, what do you see? You see you see alcohol advertisements, football games, everything. We both know that alcohol is much more abused and much worse than marijuana is. So if it can do one, then we have to at least ease into the other.
So, all right, how many states do you think have to legalize marijuana before the federal government is forced to?
Well, I don't know if they'll legalize it, but they can take it off Schedule 1 tomorrow. And I suspect, really, in the next 2 years, it will come off Schedule 1, and they'll pass what they call the States Act, which enables the banks to get involved. And once that happens, then there's no rush, because we just need to make sure that get rid of the cash element, which is very dangerous, and then make sure that people don't have to worry about if they hold a joint, it's a felony.
You know, one of the things, as you mentioned, is the banking situation. And you and I have talked about this on this program several times. Are we any closer to Nevada having any kind of in-state system that would allow businesses, marijuana businesses, to not have to spend cash, but to be able to pay through credit cards or some form of credit?
There are actually banks in other states who are doing it already, and they're starting to make inroads into Nevada. So there's not all the dispensaries have them, but many of them are already hooked up with these out-of-state banks, and they can take debit cards, they can take credit cards, and they also can bank their cash. So it's happening slowly, but the truth is it could happen in a second with just a simple change in federal law. And I think when everybody looks at this past election, they're going to realize that they need to get on the board of this thing. I don't know if you saw the vote in Utah, but right. It was overwhelming. People, I saw 100,000 more people voted for medical marijuana than all their congressional campaigns put together in Utah.
And I will make no comment on that. One of the things I've been pleased has been the response of the police, both on a local level. I had Mac Vanson on, who's deputy chief in Reno, talking about how they're dealing with marijuana, which is in a very professional, as you would expect, but in a way somewhat surprising when a police force has fought marijuana for so long, that they are taking a very professional approach to dealing with marijuana. The highway patrols in both Utah and Colorado are dealing with this in a very respectful way. Does that surprise you? Or is that just a fact of when you change the law and something goes from illegal to legal, like prohibition, that police forces change?
I think I've been pleased too the way they have changed, but I think they knew that they were spending resources trying to track down somebody because they have a little bit of marijuana or smoking marijuana was truly a waste of their time when there's actual criminals out there and crime is being committed. So I think the police are actually relieved to be able to get that off their back and focus on real crime.
All right, let's take a break. More with Tix Hegelblum, elect now for the Clark County Commission right after this.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Clark County Commissioner-elect Tick Segerblum. It's hard for me to say that after all these years of state senator. Looking at the legislature, which is now in your rearview mirror, but a different setup where you have a Democratic governor-elect, a Democratic House, and or rather Assembly and Senate. As we saw with Harry Reid, he had 60 Democrats in the United States Senate. It wasn't smooth sailing for him. Is it a bigger problem to have everybody under one party rather than divided government?
I don't think so, but it is going to take a while to rethink how your mindset. I remember when we had the Democratic Assembly and the Republican Senate in the Assembly, we were always antagonistic about, you know, whatever we did, they were trying to do something to us. And then when it went Democratic, we were still had that mindset. So it took a while to readjust and say, oh no, we're on the same team. So I think it's gonna take a while for everybody to realize it's all part of the same team. But ultimately, it'll be so much easier to be able to just talk candidly with the governor and say, you know, here's what we want to do. And he says, I don't have the money or whatever. And his priorities will be hopefully our priorities. So I think ultimately it'd be fantastic. That's been 20 years, which is a long, long time.
Yes, to say the least. Kelvin Atkinson is a majority leader. He said publicly in the last week or so that the important thing is for Democrats not to go too far. What do you think is too far? Because you're somebody that always wants to go too far.
Well, I think he was talking about me, but I'm not there anymore. But you know, really, Kelvin is very much of a centrist. I think people will be very pleasantly surprised that he brings everybody together. He's not going to go forward unless he has everybody on his team. And let's look at the state senate. We have, you know, a couple of prosecutors. It's not like a liberal firebrand group of people. They're all very seasoned, but also very young, very energetic. And it's just going to be very exciting for them. So I'm just so excited to see. When you look at the legislature, it looks like America, with all the women and the minorities and everything. It was just very cool.
Education. Both gubernatorial candidates talked about wanting to put $500 million additional dollars.
Laxalt never said where his was coming from.
Correct, but you know as well as I do that the roll-ups in the budget are going to account for a huge chunk of the money. In fact, the governor and Mike Bolden have already said that there isn't going to be $500 million that's just laying around for them to be able to scoop up. Where do you think that money would come from, and is $500 million really the target? Because, the head of the NSCA told me on this program that education needs $1 billion.
Well, I'm not sure, frankly, you know, what Governor Sisolak was thinking, but I can say this. I think that first, we need to split the state so that Clark County has its own resources, and if we want to do something, we don't have to have Reno tell us we can't do it. And then secondly,
hang on. Let's back up a second. When you say split the state, in what way do you mean that?
Well, you know, right now we have what's called the DSA. So
correct.
For education budget for secondary education and primary, it's all tied together, and so every student gets the same amount of money. I think Clark County has different needs and we should be able to get more money per pupil. And if that means we raise taxes here and spend it here, that, I think that's the solution. But if we, right now, the way the law reads, if we raise money and put it on our students, then they get credit up north and they get money from us up there, which I don't think would be appropriate.
Okay, what kind of taxes would you contemplate being raised?
Well, it could be property tax. I actually supported my campaign. I feel I got a mandate for that, a 1 cent sales tax. That would be $400 million a year. That could go to education, maybe a little bit for homeless too. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, if we put it out for a vote of the people in Clark County and they vote to approve it, why? What's wrong with that? I think everyone agrees education is so important. I think the problem with taxes are when you just raise money and it just disappears. And that's what we heard about marijuana. You know, where's the money? Where's the money? Because it didn't actually show up with a check for $100 million to Clark County and say, here's your money. But I think if we had whatever the tax is, if it's specific, it says this money will go to education and go to raise teacher salaries in Clark County and let the voters decide, I think the voters will support it.
No one ever mentions, or hasn't in many, many moons, any increase in the gaming tax. And yet it's a dual-edged sword because we have one of the lowest gaming taxes, if not the lowest in the country, which I think is one of the reasons why you're seeing these major properties coming to Las Vegas, like Genting and others, to build here. At the same time, you know, if you raised it even a minuscule amount, that could raise a substantial amount of money. Is there no appetite, in your opinion, for raising the gaming tax?
I have not heard that, but I will say this. In the last, not last year, but in the special session, we raised the room tax, which is a gaming tax for the stadium. Hotels love that. We raised room tax for the convention authority. The hotels love that. So you would think that they would be willing to come to the table and participate. The problem has always been, they always say, well, we want to get more, but we want the miners to get more, or we want whatever to get more. And of course, mining were frozen. But I think as long as we try to shame them by what they got from a special tax for them, maybe they will turn around and say, yes, we'll agree to something. But even if they supported the sales tax, more revenue comes from sales tax in the hotels, what they sell there, and the entertainment tax than what they get from gaming tax. Gaming tax keeps going down and down and down, so that's really not a big problem.
But on the other side of the coin, and this would, I'm sure, come to your heart, is that sales tax is very regressive.
Well, it is, but a third of it's paid by out-of-state people. And if, you know, if I'm a poor person to pay the sales tax, it's going, if it goes right to the schools for my kids, at least there's a direct benefit. And, you know, you got to take what you can get. I mean, I would love to have an income tax. I would love to have an estate tax. I propose an estate tax on billionaires. The only three people in Nevada that would have to pay that. But again, you have to be realistic. But you can't just sit around and say, well, I want that tax, I don't want that tax, and we don't end up with no tax. We have to increase revenue. We're next to 40 million people in the most taxed state in the country, and they seem to survive. Their economy's doing fantastic. So you can't tell me that a little tax increase here is going to kill us.
All right, let's take a break. More with Tick Segelblum when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers tapings in Las Vegas are brought to you by the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with County Commissioner-elect Tick Sagebloom. Quick question here, quick answer, please. Looks like we're opening up land around Ivanpah, eventually for the airport, but for the growth that will be now heading south. What do you think about 3 million people in this valley? Because that's where we're heading.
You know, in the valley, I can stand it. I think when we leave the valley, we have to really question that. We have very limited air, very limited water, and so I'm very concerned that we're just going down this road without seeing where the ultimate income is. And I want to see the results. I just want to read about them. So that's one thing I want to look at very closely is, do we need that airport? Can we do that enough water to go outside the valley? So I think we should be pushing back in and going up as opposed to single family homes from here to California.
And that's where we got to leave it. Tick Sagebloom, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge or watch us on YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast.